So we're just going to begin. We only have a few minutes. We're going to begin chapter 25 of marriage. And first, Jacob is handing you a couple of things. The first thing is an outline of the chapter. Of course, we give this out for every chapter. And this is, again, from Sam Walton's book on the 1689. And he didn't even write these. It was a pastor friend of his who wrote these outlines. So I can't even give you the pastor's name because I don't remember it. But at any rate, this is just an outline of the chapter, what we're going to cover. You can see there it is four paragraphs in this. And obviously, this is a kind of a big issue. It's a big issue because of what's going on today. So let me just begin right off the bat because you've got another handout besides the outline. So let's talk about that. As a church, we have established a formal position on marriage and homosexuality. That's what you all just received. So this has been on the bulletin board for a week or two. It's on the bulletin board. Now you have your own copy, so you can read through it at your own leisure. But we have adopted this. This document gives an articulate explanation of our agreement with the clear teachings of Scripture and how we will not compromise on our stance regardless of the changing tides of public opinion or government policies. So I'd invite you to read this on your own later. Marriage has always, since the creation of the first man and woman, been a God-ordained relationship. The original definition of the word and the concept itself comes from that which Almighty God created and sanctioned. Genesis 2, verses 23 and 24. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And then Christ echoes this passage in Genesis in Mark chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." You may recognize that. It was frequently quoted in the end of a wedding. Fallen man, in his perverse and sinful nature, has attempted to redefine marriage in his own terms. As many common attempts to justify sin, it begins with a small compromise and then continues to grow into all manner of depravity. In the last 40 years, a continuous attack on marriage has been made by homosexuals and those sympathetic with the sin. Beginning with redefining marriage into simply a loving relationship and seeking to justify this sin against God, the attacks have naturally transitioned to an all-out assault on God's definition of marriage and plan for men and women. So you can see a problem right off the bat with what's happened with what a marriage actually is. So let me just give you a few examples of some things that have happened that are big problems for marriage. One is the common law marriage. Have you heard of this? The common law marriage. Where does that come from? England. The common law. And what that said was, if you were together with someone for a certain period of time, for a while it was 7 years, but if you lived with someone for that period of time, you had a common law marriage. That's false. Not according to the Scripture. It's not true. We're going to break down Genesis 2, verse 24. We're going to break that down after we get through this first paragraph. And we're going to look at the actual definition of marriage according to God's Word. But this is the problem. If God defines what the relationship between a man and a woman looks like in marriage, then we cannot modify that definition. We cannot choose to redefine it into something different, like a loving relationship. And that's what the world has done. Now, I'm sure those of you who have been around, you remember this becoming the thing. Well, they're in a loving relationship. And if they're in a loving relationship, why should we stop them from getting married? Sound familiar? This is what we use to justify homosexual weddings all the time. Why should we change the law? Well, they're in a loving relationship. You know how bad that is? Well, that man's in a loving relationship with that 4-year-old. Why should we stop him from getting married? You see where that goes? That man's in a loving relationship with his car. Why should we stop him from getting married? That man's in a loving relationship with his dog. Why should we stop him from getting married? The definition of marriage is not a loving relationship. That's not it. Should that be part of it? Of course. But that's not the definition. As these forces of evil have achieved success in getting homosexuality promoted to the public and homosexual marriages permitted by the civil government, their movement has not ended. The movement has transitioned to promoting all kinds of perverse sexual issues, including cross-dressing, transgenderism, sexual identity changes, gender choice, and more. Now, these should sound familiar to you because they're all over today. This is a hot topic. So here we are again, violating the politically correct speech monitors with what we're talking about from God's Word. Let me read you these verses. Deuteronomy 22:5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Romans 1:21-32. So if you want to follow, that one's a big one. I'm going to read it. Romans 1:21-32. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The one thing that he brings out in this passage, specifically, sexual immorality. Then a list of all these sins. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. It's not a choice. It's not a choice. God created you the way that you are. That's it. Mark 10:6. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Here's Christ reiterating. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Do you hear what he is equating effeminate with? All of those things. These are a couple verses from the scripture. It couldn't be more clear that these things violate God's law. They violate God's law.